Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us from IBM is George Cruiser. Nick, you mentioned earlier in the previous segment strategic sourcing as a viable platform for acquisition. Could you elaborate more on your strategic sourcing program, and more particularly, what are you doing to expand its use to more expensive technology buys?
Our strategic sourcing program, led by a gentleman named Mike Smith, is one of the most successful in government and has been recognized as such. Just some general statistics. We have about 30 strategically sourced contracts in place for things such as ammunition, IT services, office supplies, IT hardware, and administrative services. Since we began the program in 2005, through our strategically sourced contracts, we've saved about $1 billion for the department. Again, this year we plan on saving about $200 million. I think we can move that up to about $500 billion a year if we can come through with all of our strategic sourcing initiatives over the next several years. And again, what is strategic sourcing? Very simple. We have 9 operational contracting offices in DHS, one in each one of the components, and then 2 who report directly to me, one who buys all of the things for our headquarters office, and another one who does classified procurements. All of them have a number of buying transactions that occur every year, and the total now is about roughly 98,000 transactions. We have a tool that looks at these transactions and translates it into something where we can see opportunities. We then take those opportunities and through a very careful, well-thought-out business case process, we look to see what can we strategically source. One interesting area that's come up is detection equipment. So we've got several of our components who use various detection equipment to meet their missions. The question is, what of all of that detection equipment can be strategically sourced? Can all of it, can a portion of it? That's why you do a business case. At the end of the business case, and many good people work together on this, we end up coming up with a strategic sourcing opportunity. And those go on over time. And then we also play a role in the federal strategic sourcing initiative. So in office supplies, we were a leader in helping the Office of Management and Budget put that particular initiative in place. And we use it. We're a large user of the office supplies contracts. We will also assist OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, at the government-wide level on print management as well as wireless services as those initiatives come into play. We will continue, however, to constantly look at our own spend. Essentially, this should drive us to fewer contracts, better deals, and allow my workforce to focus on these bigger deals versus doing lots of transactional buying.
I'd like to spend a couple of minutes focusing on the people. One might say that good business deals are dependent on having a highly skilled and motivated acquisition workforce. Could you tell me a little bit about both the challenges that you have and some of the things you're doing to build and sustain a highly motivated workforce?
This is an area I spent a lot of my career in, and one of the many reasons I came to DHS was because within my organization, the Chief Procurement Officer, we have an acquisition professional career program. It essentially is an intern program, and we have 200 acquisition intern types who are going through a rigorous program, and they're going to be the next generation of acquisition professionals. And I will tell you that I believe that the government is going to be in tremendous shape with the future acquisition workforce because of the caliber of people coming in, and they just need time to grow. Specifically in terms of initiatives that we have going on with respect to the workforce. What is the workforce, first of all? It is contracting folks. It is program management folks. There are people, folks called contracting officers, technical representatives. Those are the 3 categories of people that make up the acquisition workforce as defined by the Office of Management and Budget. What we've done in DHS is we've taken that sort of to the next level. We do have contracting folks. We have 1,421 who are basically under my purview. We have program management personnel, and as I mentioned, we have more than 500 programs, so roughly that number of program managers. And then contracting officers, technical representatives, we would have, if we have 18,000 live contracts, we would have some subset of that would be our contracting officers, technical representatives that are out there. We've added some other career fields that we feel are necessary, especially because we've got programs of large programs to manage. And those are cost estimating, life cycle logistics, test and evaluation folks, and then financial management folks. The idea is this, is pretty simple. In contracting, we have the 1,400 or so, and they do all the contracting things. In program management, you want a program manager, you want a contracting officer's technical representative, you also want a cost estimator, you also want a logistician, you want a test and evaluator. You want all of these folks around your major program. So we have developed certification programs within my office for folks who are entering these fields, as well as within the intern program, we've hired contracting folks, program management, cost estimators, systems engineers, and we're developing them from the ground up. In order for all of these folks who make up our acquisition workforce to get certified, we have significant number of training courses which are provided by my organization, which lead to certifications. We offer more than 340 courses through our workforce training program, and there are 70 different courses that all of the folks in the acquisition workforce across DHS have access to.
It's certainly encouraging that you're seeing so much talent coming into the organization, but with such a complex mission, I would imagine that it's also important to balance that with retaining some of that institutional knowledge and more senior experience. So could you talk to me a little bit about some of the things you're doing relative to retention?
In terms of retaining the institutional knowledge, there's a couple things that we're doing. One is the newer generation that's coming in is being mentored and coached by those who are still in the workforce. Those who are still in the workforce who are senior seem to be staying longer, so we're seeing the attrition rate actually go down overall across the board, and maybe that's because of the economic climate. The statistics are that the attrition rate is actually going down. The other thing is we have the ability, in DHS we do, to hire folks who have already retired. And so we're doing a little bit of that. So we're doing a little bit of everything to keep the workforce together. But I will tell you, there is going to be a phenomenal acquisition workforce across government. And DHS is going to be the leader in that in the next 5 to 7 years. And this is the reason why. In the 90s, DOD had, quote-unquote, professionalized their workforce by imposing an educational requirement and a training requirement. Roughly around 2000, the civilian agencies followed suit with that. And so when I came into government 20 years ago, there were maybe 60% who did not have college degrees, 40 did. Today, it is probably, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's probably 80% who do and 20% who don't. The training requirements have become more rigid, more expansive. And of course, we have all this mentoring and coaching that's going on. That coupled with experience over the next 5 to 7 years, you're going to be dealing, the private sector is going to be pleased to know that they're going to be dealing with a very highly educated, sophisticated acquisition workforce. I think it's going to be great for everybody, good for the country.
There's been an increased interest by the federal government in the use of prizes and challenges, and that's a trend that is anticipated to continue to grow. To that end, how has DHS used alternative approaches to formal contracting and procurement processes?
So, you know, I guess the way I want to address that is, as I mentioned before, I have four priorities: quality people, quality contracting, quality program support, and quality and effective engagement with industry. I have about 25 metrics to measure, you know, how is this place any better since the day I walked in here? And those 25 metrics are linked to my four priorities. Now, we have two recognition programs that we use for our personnel, and guess what? They're all linked to moving those metrics in the right direction. So I'll just talk about a couple of them. One is our Small Business Awards program. Again, we have a phenomenal small business program. One neat story is outside of the Veterans Department, We are the only agency in government who exceeded their service-disabled veteran goal. Very pleased to say that the Secretary established a goal of doing about $1 billion of business with veterans last year, and we are carrying that forward again this year. Very important for our country at this time for us. So we've got a robust small business awards program that essentially gives incentive to the entire acquisition workforce to help us meet those goals in the most appropriate manner. The other program we have is the DHS Competition Excellence Awards. And as I mentioned, something like 80% of our contracts are competed. Again, that helps us get a better deal. We have that awards program in place, as well as an overall acquisition excellence awards program. As I keep mentioning, one of my primary jobs is to make sure that the government gets a good deal. $20 billion you're spending, how do you know you're getting a good deal? Strategic sourcing certainly is a big piece of that and some other things. But ultimately, as our folks do get these good deals, I've got to find ways to that is the challenge. The reward is within our awards programs.
George, I'd like to discuss how you work with the DHS components. We've talked a lot about central office, but I understand the seven DHS components retain their procurement functions and report in a direct line to their mission supervisors, which is called functional integration, I understand it. What are some of the benefits, and how does this approach benefit DHS's overall acquisitions strategy? And more importantly, is there any ideas of going beyond this sort of oversight into a more centralized approach?
We have one of the strongest, what we call, lines of business in acquisition in DHS. So where everyone, so, and here's how the reporting actually works. 9 contracting shops, $19 billion is spent across the 9 contracting shops. About $6 billion of that $19 billion that directly reports to me. So there's $6 billion right there. So the rest of them, 7 in the components, they don't directly report to me. However, here's how it works that makes it almost the next best thing to them reporting to me. First of all, I hand each one of the heads of contracting in those 7 organizations within the components a goal and priority letter at the beginning of a fiscal year. Guess what? That relates to the 25 metrics, my 4 priorities, and it gives them very specifics of where I need them to generally head. They agree to that. We go through the year, and there are various checkpoints that I have where they come in. We look at a dashboard of sorts and, again, the metrics, and we want to make sure that things are on track. And then we get to the hot part of the year where a lot of money comes in. And you've got to make sure that you're spending it, getting a good deal, meeting your small business goals, competing things, buying green, and a whole bunch of other things, as well as continuing to effectively engage with industry under very, very challenging circumstances. And while we're not perfect, we're going to strive for perfection in that area. At the end of the year, I have input into the performance appraisals of all of the heads of contracting. They do listen, they do cooperate, and they're actually very, very fantastic folks who work extremely hard. In addition to that, all of the big strategic sourcing buys, where we're driving more and more of our money through, are done out of my office that directly reports to me. So very comfortable with the structure as is, and feel like with all of those items in place that we're moving in the right direction.
Well, given the significant fiscal and economic pressures facing the country, a number of agency heads are embarking on department-wide cost-cutting efforts, particularly with a focus on business operations. Would you tell us more about your efforts to cut costs and realize savings, and what are some of the key initiatives being pursued in the procurement and acquisition area?
We have 2 major cost-cutting efforts in DHS. One is the DHS Secretary's Efficiency Review, and the second is the Office of Management Budget Acquisition Savings Initiative. The cornerstone of both of those is our strategic sourcing program and the savings that we achieve through our strategic sourcing program. Again, we have many initiatives, strategic sourcing initiatives within the department, as well as we are a leader and partner with the Office of Management and Budget in their government-wide strategic sourcing initiatives.
So I'd be interested to know how you empower your employees, and more particularly, how do you lead them to understand the changes that you're incurring and foster a culture of performance?
That's a great question. When I came in as the chief procurement officer, one of the key things with leadership is to have a clear vision and a message, and then actually communicate that message where folks understand it. So I've mentioned a few times about my four priorities, and in 11 months, we've established the four priorities, and we're doing many good things, but I want to institutionalize them. The mechanism that I'll be using is my strategic plan, which is essentially a five-year look of, over the waterfront of acquisition and specifics on how we're going to drive all the things that we need to drive in order to be a successful organization. That plan will be complete within the next month or so, and it'll be delivered to every employee, at which time I will speak to it to all of our stakeholders, which include everybody internally as well as industry and the many other stakeholders that we have. So essentially, if I tie these back to my four priorities, I could say a success that's actually happening right now as I put out the five-year vision. Strategic sourcing, so in contracting, we are saving money, getting a better deal, or we're pushing to that. Within people, we have our intern program, a couple hundred. We graduated a couple classes this year. Now they're landing into the components and doing good things. We plan on graduating about 30 folks a year from here on out. That will land in and replenish our workforce. And again, the attrition rate is actually getting lower. Our small business program, which is stellar and rated as an A by the Small Business Administration last year, and we're looking to get that again. We have little ways to go, 10 more days in the fiscal year. And then the last item, which I got a chance to elaborate on, which is part of the Undersecretary's acquisition enhancements to the front end and back end of acquisition, and that's the establishment of the realignment of the Program Accountability and Risk Management Office, led by Dr. Cedric Sims. And he and his staff, under the Undersecretary's leadership, have done some tremendous things. The one that I want to highlight again is, well, there are many, the Integrated Investment Lifecycle, which, incidentally, is one in which all of the chiefs have worked together to build this integrated investment lifecycle. We're all invested in a better way of managing investments, how they come into play and then how they're managed. And it's very interesting to see how the undersecretary has brought in all of the chiefs to bring this to life. And then the piece that I mentioned before, which is this this fantastic decision support tool, which I'll tell you, I believe it's cutting edge. I'm not sure any other agency has a tool like this that essentially takes 15 criteria of a program, and we're adding to that to ultimately on the back end say, here's the health of this program. And key decision makers at the department, now that you have this, you know, you can make solid decisions based on empirical data.
What does the future hold for acquisition in the U.S. Department of Homeland Security? We will ask Dr. Nick Nyack, DHS's Chief Procurement Officer, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.